can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Hold on tight, because I'm going to hurt some fucking feelings today. I'm going to say some mean, mean things. And when I say those mean things, I want you to keep something in mind. If you disagree, you are wrong and I'm right. That's just how it fucking happens. And of course the crowd goes wild, because that's what the crowd does. My millions and millions of fans, the listeners, to Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. The cruise missile with a nuclear fucking warhead on it has a statist-seeking guidance system. It finds people who are walking around going, "But who would build the roads?" And it fucking blows them up in a big fucking nuclear mushroom cloud. Because, my friends, it's all okay. Because, you see, the end justifies the means. That's what's important to keep in mind when you're a motherfucking statist. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 10 motherfucking years of podcasting. Fuck you. Fuck you. 10 motherfucking years. CYNLIBSOC.com on the interweb, CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse. You can email us, God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is July? Yes, thank you. July 22nd, 2015. I am watching. I watched a documentary called Real Engine, R-E-E-L-I-N-J-U-N, Real Engine. It's about Native Americans in the movies and how they are misportrayed and all this other stuff. Because, of course, we know that movies are the source of learning and wisdom and, of course, reality. And it was not a very good documentary. On the cover of the DVD thing, it has Clint Eastwood's name on there. Clint Eastwood is in the documentary for about 17 seconds. But they put his name on there so as to get some traction. It was not a very good documentary. It could have been a really interesting documentary, but it was just a bunch of Native Americans. There's a bunch of Indians whining about how they're mistreated by the media. Well, not the media. Mistreated by Hollywood. Which, of course, is interesting because, last time I checked, Hollywood is run pretty much exclusively by left-wing liberal statists who claim to care about minorities and such. Anyhow, it was just the whining about exploitation and how they're taken advantage of and how they were not portrayed accurately in the movies. Because, of course, we know that while the stereotypical portrayal of American Indians in the movie was, according to their documentary here, an inaccurate stereotyping of who they are. Okay, now of course we know that other groups who are portrayed in the movies are of course portrayed perfectly accurately. For example, we know that all British Secret Service agents are incredibly handsome with all sorts of cool little gadgets and they have sex with every woman they come across, right? There's no inaccurate portrayals of British Secret Service agents. We know, of course, that all cowboys were guys who ran around whipping out their six-shooters, shooting everybody down. I just talked about this a couple episodes ago about how many people were really killed in the Old West as opposed to what you think, right? But we know that all cowboys, they wore these white hats or black hats and they were shooting buddy down all the time. There were no inaccurate portrayals there. We know, of course, that there's never been an inaccurate portrayal of the war between the states. Oh, I'm sorry, the Civil War, for those of you who are still fucking all hung up on the Confederate flag. Like, that's never been inaccurately portrayed. We know that You know, men, white men who work for a living, have never been inaccurately portrayed in Hollywood movies. No. So, look, the whole documentary is some Indians whining about how Hollywood movies don't accurately reflect the reality of Indian culture. Well, yeah. Hollywood movies don't accurately reflect anything. If Hollywood movies accurately reflected reality, Hollywood movies would be about people who drive their car 40 minutes in the morning, sit in a cubicle for 8 hours, and then drive their car 40 minutes home, and then warm up a TV dinner and drink a beer while watching reality television. Probably would not sell a lot of movies. If you're looking at Hollywood movies and you're searching for accurate renditions of reality, you might be a stupid motherfucker. People don't watch movies for reality. But of course, it's just another classic example of a group of people looking for more opportunities to play the victim card. As I always point out whenever the whole American Indian thing comes up, remember, you guys are the ones who believed the American government when they said, when they made all these deals. You're the ones who let yourselves be put on the reservations. You signed the treaties. And yes, I know, I've actually read history books, unlike those of you out there who are statist. I know there are countless times where the government of the United States signed a treaty with a tribe, nation, many of them were actually nations, with a nation of American Indians, and then the United States betrayed them and killed them anyway. Yes, and you're the dumbasses who kept trusting the United States. Next up, I am watching, I have not finished it yet, I am in the middle of it, a documentary. It's from the BBC, and it is called World War II Behind Closed Doors, Stalin, the Nazis, and the West. This is a really good documentary. I cannot highly enough recommend you watch this documentary. First of all, the production values are great. They do a lot of historical reenactment, and they, you know, this again, more as when did this come out? Looking for a date. Oh God, this is pretty old. This came out in 2009. You know, of course, after communism fell, all these documents came out, and so they got, they being, you know, historians and so forth, got a hold of another giant batch of documents that had previously been inaccessible to the world. This documentary has numerous historical reenactments, which are very well done. Everybody speaks their native tongue, just not everybody speaking in English, which is unrealistic. So it's really good, and I'm learning a lot of shit that I did not previously know about. I mean, we knew about things, but for example, Hitler and Stalin, before Hitler invaded the Soviet Union, we all know that they had signed a non-aggression pact. Well, at least most of us should know that. Probably a lot of you out there don't know that. But yeah, they had signed a non-aggression pact against each other. But apparently, they had actually gone so far as to draw up on a map how they were going to divide up Europe. And of course, we know that when Hitler went into Poland and took Western Poland, Stalin rolled into Poland and took Eastern Poland, killed in the process, this is a very short version, in the process executed almost 20,000 Polish officers and intellectuals. And Stalin told Hitler that he was invested in Germany winning the war, and he would not let Germany lose. And if it looked like Germany was going to falter, he would come to Germany's rescue. One more illustration of how if Adolf Hitler simply hadn't invaded the Soviet Union, which again, you know, we should all be thankful to whatever extent we can be thankful about history and so forth and so on, because, yeah, again, who knows? Had Hitler won the war, and had there been a Nazi Europe next to a Soviet Union, I mean, that right there would have been bad, but who knows what could have come out of that? They might have engaged in a Cold War, leaving the United States out. Maybe we would not have escalated with nuclear weapons against the Soviet Union as we did. Maybe we would have not ended up being the world's policeman. Maybe at some point the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany would have collapsed. I mean, you know, there's no way of knowing what could have happened. It could have turned out to have been a good thing. It would not have been a good thing right after Hitler won the war, but it could have been a good thing down the road, because, of course, the end justifies the means. We'll come back to that. That's why I'm saying that. Anyway, we don't know what would have happened. But had Hitler not been a dumbass and invaded the Soviet Union might have stuck to that and came to Hitler's rescue if he needed it. Also found out, I did not know this, Stalin allowed Nazi Germany to have a submarine base in Soviet waters based on Soviet soil. Now, apparently, it was submarines and ships, and the German sailors, were not allowed to go on shore, but they were still able to come into this port for repairs and resupply. So Stalin helped the Germans out more than I realized. And there are numerous interviews with, and it's a really good documentary. It's from the BBC, so there's no need for the people making it aren't trying to sugarcoat President Roosevelt and pretend he wasn't a piece of shit. And they're not sugarcoating Stalin, and they're bringing in, they're doing interviews with people from the German army, excuse me, and from the Soviet army. And by that I mean your ordinary soldiers. They're doing interviews with some Polish people who were imprisoned by the Soviet Union. So everybody's coming out of this smelling like shit is the important thing. And I'm dropping stuff. And of course, it's fascinating to watch this and not just see the historical perspectives and to find out things you may not have known, but as always, to just see the statism, as the statism just fucking oozes. Like, they're talking to this member of the NKVD. That was the secret police of the Soviet Union. They're talking to this guy who's in the NKVD, and he's talking about, you know, taking a pistol and shooting all of these Polish officers in the head. He's like, yeah, this was really rough on us. Some of the people in the NKVD were so emotionally distraught about this, they killed themselves. But he's like, hey, you know, orders are orders. You got to do what you got to do. I'm like, holy fuck. There it is. That's statism right there. That, my friends, is the face of statism. Being an anarcho-capitalist has kind of ruined me in some ways, because now anytime I'm watching a movie, I talked about Ghost in the Shell. I'm watching a movie, I'm like, Babylon 5, I love Babylon 5. I'm sitting there, I'm watching Babylon 5. Somebody's like, well, but we gotta do this, but that's order. So I'm just like, oh God, the fucking statism. Oh, statism. It's... I still love Babylon 5, but now I see the statism and I'm just like, oh, I'm rolling my eyes and groaning. But then, you know, there's these Russian, and we're going out and we're killing people and we're bombing, blind, and we're, it's what we were told to do. It's just what you do. What can you do about it? You got to do what you're told to do. Oh, the statism. I'm running off of memory also about what I present from this documentary, so I'm probably forgetting to mention some really good parts of it. Again, watch it. It's called World War II, Behind Closed Doors, Stalin, the Nazis, and the West. It's from BBC Video. I just watched the part where the Germans are... The Germans have invaded the Soviet Union, and they're splitting their forces. One force is going towards... Oh, God, what's that city on the Vogel River? I can't remember. And then the other force is swinging further to the south, and they're heading for the oil fields. Oh, and then, of course, they talked about... Fuck, there's too much for me to go. All right, let me finish this. And the other part of the German army is heading towards oil fields. So Stalin calls in this guy, and they interview this guy himself in the documentary. Stalin calls in this petroleum engineer type guy. He's a high government official. He's in charge of the oil fields because, of course, you know, you got to have a government official in charge of the oil fields because, well, if there were no government, there wouldn't be any oil, right? It's like roads. It's like the forest, right? You've got to have the government to manage the forest because if there's no government, trees can't grow. I mean, you can't just expect trees out in the fucking forest to just grow by themselves. You've got to have a regulatory agency to regulate the trees, or they're not going to grow. Oil is the same way, right? You have to have a government official in charge of the oil, because if the government doesn't regulate it, well, there's not going to be any oil in the ground. I mean, that's where the oil comes from. It comes from the government, just the same place that rights come from, same place that roads come from, you know, the same place that... The airwaves that, well, we don't even use airwaves anymore for television, but, you know, we had to have the FCC to license the airwaves, because without the FCC, there'd be no airwaves, and then radio stations couldn't have broadcasted. So the guy in charge of the oil fields for the Soviet Union comes into Stalin's office, and Stalin tells him, so, you know, the Germans are coming, they want the oil, obviously, and Stalin tells him, if the Germans, and I'm trying to do this word for word as best I can remember it. Stalin says, if the Germans capture so much as a ton of oil, I will have you shot. If you destroy the oil fields too early and the Germans don't capture them, I will have you shot. And this guy, who was on the receiving end of this threat, says in his interview, his modern day 2009 interview, he says, well, if I were Stalin, I probably would have said the same thing. The end justifies the means. Oh, God, I love when statists pull that shit. Now, I'm going to talk about some end justifying some means. And we're going to see how many statists continue to agree with the concept of the end justifies the means. Also, I want to hearken you back to what I talked about with the episode of Biggest Problem in the Universe, where Maddox is going on and on about how the broken window fallacy is not really a fallacy, and how earthquakes are a good thing because when you have an earthquake, it destroys stuff. And then you get to build new things where the destroyed stuff was, and how wonderful that is because it stimulates the economy. Okay, so all this end justifies the means shit. As I go forward with this next little sequence of arguments, I want you to keep that in mind as I fucking offend people out the ass. Get ready to call me racist, sexist, homophobic. Get ready to throw everything you've got at me, because I'm gonna fucking attack some groups of people you're just not allowed to attack. Let's start with my favorite, because we're in World War II. Let's start with the Jews. Oh yes, I will pause so that you can scream anti-Semitism. Go. Okay, great. Got that out of your system? There's nothing here I haven't said on this podcast before. I just want to say it again in the context of this documentary, in this context of all of this fucking end justifies the means shit that you statists say. Say this in the context of idiots like Maddox saying that the broken window fallacy is a fallacy and that destruction is a good thing. Are you ready? Brace yourselves. Here it comes. The truth. And you are gonna fucking shit yourself, go blind, and scream. Are you ready? Here it is. The Holocaust is the greatest thing that ever happened to the Jews. There it is. That is what allows them to fucking play the Jew card. Right now, all the Jews are calling me anti-Semitic. Why? Because you went to concentration camps. Had you not gone to concentration camps, you wouldn't be able to fucking use that. You would have to actually intellectually engage me. This whole thing you fucking Jews have. You're anti-Semitic. No. I'm tired of your bullshit. This whole thing you Jews have about acting like in the entire history of the planet Earth, you're the only people that have ever been killed by a foreign government. You're just so fucking special. Let's see, Well, there were all those Polish officers who were killed by the Soviet Union, not to mention their families who are packed off and taken to the fucking wilderness of Siberia and are living in under the... this one woman, she's talking about how she was in this underground house, like a big one-room house with, I think it was 12 other families. Like somebody died, they had to take their dead body and just sit it by the front door and let it freeze over the winter because there was no way to bury her. You know, what about all... Oh, we went to concentration camps. Oh yeah, and nobody in the Soviet gulags ever went to concentration camps. Oh, woe is you. Let's see, no Japanese Americans were sent to concentration camps by your fucking wonderful democratically elected government here in the United States. There are no Japanese people in concentration camps. Why, none of those Polish officers shot by the Soviet Union, they weren't actually shot. Let's see, who else might have been, I don't know, systematically put into something that could be called camps and were systematically killed by a government. Oh yeah, American Indians. Oh man, imagine that. Let's see, who else was killed by a foreign government? Oh, I don't know, maybe every motherfucker in war throughout the entire fucking history of the planet Earth? But oh no, you fucking Jews, you're so goddamn special. You're just so fucking special. If had it not been for the Holocaust, you wouldn't be able to play the Jew card, you wouldn't have the country of Israel, you wouldn't have everybody on the planet Earth absolutely terrified to call you on your bullshit. Everyone on the planet Earth, except me apparently, is just fucking terrified of you. All because of the Holocaust. Well, guess what? It's just like statism. Well, the end justifies the means. It's the broken window fallacy. The broken window fallacy is a fallacy. See all the wonderful things that came out of killing all those Jews in concentration camps? Why, look how good you've got it now. The broken window fallacy is a fallacy. The end justifies the means. And that's what you get with statism. You can't get this with anarcho-capitalism because anarcho-capitalism says you can't initiate violence against other people. Putting somebody in a concentration camp is initiating violence against them, and therefore you can't do that. All of this happened because of statism. And yet, you Jews are as statist as you can fucking get. And of course, we have the other prime example of this phenomena. Because now that I've pissed off the Jews, let's go for the other one. Oh, black people in the United States, what would you have done without slavery? How? I mean, what excuses would you use for your failure? When you see a black woman in the ghetto, she's got three kids by three different daddies. You know, she's fucking on drugs and her kids are dealing dope. I mean, if she could not blame that on slavery, what would she do, man? Slavery. Best thing that ever happened to black people. Because otherwise, they'd have to take responsibility for their own failures. Yes, I know. And see, here I'm anti-Semitic, and I hate black people, and yada, 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 yada. No, man, I'm just calling it like it is. Sorry, gang. If any of you in these groups, by groups, I mean people who play the Holocaust card, people who play the slavery card, the racism card, the anti-Semitism card. If you ever want to be taken seriously in life, you've got to stop playing the fucking cards, and you've got to take responsibility for who you are right here, right now. And you have to be competent and capable of engaging with the world around you. You can't keep hiding behind this shit, people. Well, you can. You can. And as long as you're going to keep hiding behind the slavery card and the Holocaust card, you need to acknowledge that you would not have the slavery card without slavery. Right? If black people had never been slaves in the United States, black people couldn't walk around and talk about how they used to be slaves, right? It's like if you don't have any milk in your refrigerator, you can't get milk out of the refrigerator. This has, again, I know you think this is racist. No, this is a true. This is a fact. If black people hadn't been slaves in the United States, they would not be able to play the slavery card. Had Jews not been put in concentration camps, they would not be able to play the Holocaust card. If you, at any point in your life, play the slavery card or the Holocaust card, you need to understand that that means you're only playing that card because of slavery or the Holocaust. So you better be fucking thankful that those things happened, because otherwise you'd have to take responsibility for your own fucking life. You know, like heterosexual white men who work for a living do. I don't get to play any fucking cards. This goes to, again, for those of you new to the show, my equality test. Nobody is equal to me if they can play any cards and if there's any aspect of who they are that I cannot critique or make jokes about. It's that simple. I got no cards to hide behind. I have to take full fucking responsibility. So I don't want to hear any shit from you people. So there we go. That should have been nice and offensive to everyone. As usual, if you listen to an episode of Stating the Obvious and you're not offended by something, you can always send me an email and let me know, give me a couple of facts about you, and I'll be sure to try to get in some insults towards you in the next episode. Let's move on to insulting the next group of people that need to be made fun of, which would be today, women. Two observations on women. It's a long story. I discovered the existence of a book today, and I'm looking at this book, and it's another of these dystopian, I don't even remember the name of it, but it's another of these dystopian books which are all the rage right now in the vein of, what do you call it, Hunger Games. And I've talked about Hunger Games at length in the past and why I think it appeals so much to women. And this has occurred to me a little bit in the past, but I don't think I've talked about it directly on the show. The number of women I encounter today who read young adult novels. Now, of course, remember, these women are all statist. When you say to a statist that killing other people and taking their stuff is wrong, statists will always say to libertarians and anarcho-capitalists, well, you just don't understand. You're just too immature. You think you can do everything yourself. You are immature. Mature people understand we need a government. And yet these mature people are reading books that are aimed at 16-year-old girls. I've noticed this. There are so many women, I'm making little air quotes in the air, there are so many females of the human species who are trying to pass themselves off as adult women. I'm strong and independent, and I read young adult novels. Let's talk about immaturity. You're reading these books that are written for 16-year-old girls, and you're trying to tell me you're strong, independent, and mature. The fact that this is even a thing, that there's this category of young adult novels, seems a little weird to me. And the fact that so many so-called adult women are so attracted to reading these. I don't want to rehash, but I kind of think I do need to rehash my criticisms of Hunger Games. I was trying to remember the title of it. And I have read what I would consider the male equivalent of these young adult novels. For example, I read the Resident Evil series of books, which was essentially like reading a walkthrough of a computer game. I mean, the books, like one of the books was actually structured where the heroes got into this underground umbrella complex and they're having to go through these different sections of the complex, and each section of the complex is a different terrain with different monsters in it. I mean, you know, it was truly exactly like you would structure a video game. And so I consider that in the same vein as something like Hunger Games, because as I was reading Hunger Games, especially when I got to the third book, when they're invading the city and they're going through the city and there's all these areas in the city with different traps. And as I was reading that, I thought back to that very same Resident Evil book, and I thought, this is just like reading a walkthrough of a video game. Now, there's nothing wrong with some guilty pleasure like that, if that's what you want to call it. I mean, right, not every time you read a fucking book, it doesn't have to be Plato. Not saying that. Believe me, I read my share of, you know, crappy books, like Resident Evil series. I listened to the Hunger Games series on audiobook because I wanted to find out what the hell the big deal was about, all right? So I'm not saying every book you read has to be motherfucking existentialist fucking philosophy. But when somebody says to you, or when you're talking about yourself, you know, like there's this one hot chick I know, and I was stalking her on the internet, and I find her little info, like the first thing she said, I love reading young adult novels. And she doesn't say, I like reading young adult novels and cookbooks. Oh wait, that would imply women cook. That's sexist. Oh my god, I hate women. I'm homophobic. Right. She didn't say, I like young adult novels and history and science fiction and erotica or anything like that. No, it was like, I like young adult novels. Period. End of sentence. Well, maybe you should try fucking reading something written for adults occasionally. I like chocolate, but I don't eat chocolate all the fucking time. So anyhow, all of these novels, you know, these women are reading, and Aaron Cleary, we made it, Randy, how far in the cast are we? Thank you. We made it 34 minutes in the cast without me saying Aaron Cleary's name. Aaron did a great podcast, he excerpted this and put it on his YouTube channel, talking about how, you know, women go to the movies and they see these women female characters like, what's her face, Black Widow, Black Scarlet, whatever, the Scarlett Johansson chick in the Avengers. You know, they see these women running around kicking ass, and women see this shit and they think it's real. Men, of course, go to these movies and we see this stuff and we know goddamn well it's not real. It's like Rambo. I can watch Rambo and I don't sit there and I don't go, oh man, that's real. I sit there and say, okay, he should have run out of ammo by now. And of course, when Rambo shot the fucking law out of the helicopter, it's like, no. If you shoot a goddamn fucking law is a light anti-tank weapon. If you shoot a light anti-tank weapon out of a helicopter, the cockpit of the helicopter, you're dead. You're not going to fucking live through that because the back blast is going to kill you. See, we men, we watch movies like this and we know it's fake. Women watch this shit and they read this shit. It's like when I'm reading the Resident Evil books, I know this shit is fake. Women read these books and they think this shit's real. They think, why, yes, I could be just like Katniss Everdeen. I could be just as cool as she is. Which, of course, as I talked about extensively, she's not that fucking cool. Through the entire three books, she basically just wanders around and gets blown in different directions by the wind. She makes very few choices on her own. She's completely reactive and passive. The only time she ever fucking finds her spinal column is when, here's a spoiler, when she fucking shoots the leader of the resistance movement with the arrow instead of shooting, what's his name, President, the Rose guy, Snow. Anyway, so you've got all these women, and they're so proud of reading these books that are written on a third grade level with these completely unrealistic heroines who are, you know, saving the world in spite. And it's amazing how Katniss Everdeen managed to do and accomplish all this stuff without ever actually lifting much of a fucking finger. And that's why I think this is the ultimate female fantasy in these books, because you've got these young, beautiful female characters going through the story and everything is just happening around them, and they don't have to actually do anything except just kind of stand there and look cute and occasionally be sassy. And that's how women sort of visualize their perfect world, right? They just, well, I'm big and I'm beautiful and I'm sassy and I'm attractive, and now everything's just going to happen around me because I'm a woman and I have a liberal arts degree. It's okay to read these books, but when it's all you read, you might want to ask yourself, who is being immature? Is it the evil anarcho-capitalist who think that killing people is wrong? Or is it you? My fucking phone going off again. Yep. All of that can wait. All right. Still on the subject of the female of the human species. I think I have talked about this before, but it needs to be talked about again. Women. I'm going to explain this to you for your own good. You can deny this. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it, okay? Men. And yes, I know there's exceptions, okay? I don't give a shit. I'm not talking about the exceptions. Men are not attracted to the same things that women are attracted to. Ross Jeffries, who teaches men how to seduce women, explains it like this. If you go out fishing and you want to catch a fish, what do you put on the hook? You put a worm on there. Now, does the worm look appetizing to you? No, of course not. But the worm is appetizing to the fish. That's why you go fishing with worms. Not with broccoli or chocolate or whatever it is looks good to you. More and more, it seems to me that women don't seem to understand that men are not attracted to women for the same qualities that women are attracted to men for. You see, all of these women who are essentially trying to be men. And here's what I mean. I don't mean butch lesbian. Here's what I mean by that. You see these women, what is it they announce about themselves? First of all, that they're strong. Right? I lift weights. I don't mean strong like strong and independent. I mean strong. I'm physically strong. I'm strong. Okay. Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but when a man's out looking for chicks, he's not looking for bodybuilders. Strength. It's not on our top 10 list. These women who, I love sports, there's nothing that turns me off with a bitch more than seeing pictures of her wearing Broncos jerseys and when they do the face paint and all this other. I watch every Broncos game. It's like, okay, that's just fun. You know, I don't even want to be friends with men who can't survive without watching every fucking Broncos game. I sure as hell don't want anything to do with a woman who is so addicted to any form of sports that she watches every game. I don't want anything to do with a woman who spends money on fucking sports jerseys and sports memorabilia and puts on face paint and all this other shit. Your jobs. Women are always talking about your job. I understand women are attracted to men because of their jobs, because their jobs represent how much potential money they can give to the woman. Because women, and I know you're going to deny this, ultimately what women want from men is money. I know you try to deny that's true, but I promise you it's the fucking truth. You know it. I know it. Right? It doesn't work the other way. As a man, as men, we don't really give a fuck how much money you have. Now, we don't want you to be completely dirt poor and have thousands of dollars worth of debt. That's a no-brainer. But the fact is, you know, a woman who makes fucking $10 an hour, and you show me another woman who makes $100 an hour, if they're equally attractive, the money doesn't mean a fucking thing to me. I just as soon go with the $10 an hour woman because I know she's probably going to be less fucking stuck up. She's probably going to be less trying to shove her fucking liberal arts degree down my throat. She's probably going to be less of a bitch. Okay, so telling men about how much money you make and about your job, we don't give a shit. If you're a man and you talk to women, you will know that women always try to weasel it around to finding out what you do for a living. Or the new code phrase is that they always say, well, I want a man who has goals, which of course is code phrase for I want a man who's going to make a lot of money. Girls, we don't give a shit. We really don't. Like I said, as long as you're not in debt and maybe not completely dirt poor, I mean, it's nice if you can fucking buy your own shit, and you know, if you're going out with a woman, it's like, I pay this time, you pay that time, you pay this time, I pay that time, we go back and forth. So yeah, you need to have a little bit of money, but we really don't give a shit. And we sure as hell don't give a shit about your job, because again, this goes to the difference I've talked about over and over between men and women. Men go to work to make money so they can leave work and do things they enjoy doing with their friends. Women go to work to do things they enjoy with people they like, right? We don't care about your fucking job. We don't. We don't want to hear about your job. We don't care about your job. We're not interested in your job. We do not view jobs as part of our social and recreational life. We view jobs as a necessary evil. You view jobs as a social nexus in your life. So we don't give a fuck about your job. Showing us pictures of your car or your Jeep or your pickup or whatever. Again, women attracted to men because of their automobile, because the automobile is a status symbol, and because the type of automobile a man has is indicative of how much money he has access to and thus how much money she can get from him. Okay? We don't give a fuck. You have a car. Great. I don't care what kind of car. I don't give a shit. I don't need to see a picture of your fucking car. Just have a fucking car. That's fine. Nobody cares. And this is what I mean when I say women are trying to become men. Women are looking at the things they find attractive in men and then trying to be that. Under the assumption, this is my theory. This is my thesis. They're trying to be that which they are attracted to in men because they believe men are attracted to the same things in women because, of course, they have no social skills. They don't have any understanding of other human beings. Now, why do they not have understanding of other human beings? Well, partially because they read young adult novels, which present a very unrealistic view of the world. And, of course, they also believe this because another facet of their immaturity is their narcissism and self-obsession, which of course we can see most clearly illustrated in the phenomena that has become known as the selfie, and the way in which women have all learned. Do you notice now, when women always do their selfies, how they always hold their arm up? I'm holding my arm up in the air, as if you can see me. They always do this thing where they hold their arm up in the air, and they take the photograph, you know, angling down at them. Now, of course, one reason they do this is because, believe me, women know, they spend a lot of time taking selfies. They know from exactly what angle they look the least fat. Because despite the fucking fat acceptance movement and all this other shit, women inherently, deep down inside, back in their lizard brains, they understand that fat is not attractive. And so they do everything they can. Again, if you just, OkCupid, OkCupid.com. If you don't have an account, just go there, make one, and just read the profiles of women. You'll see everything I'm talking about. But, you know, and look at their pictures. You can always tell on any kind of internet dating thing, you can always tell the fat women because they only have headshots, right? Women who actually have good-looking bodies will let you know. They make goddamn sure they get a picture of their body on the internet so that you know they've got a good-looking body. But so the mythology is that fat acceptance, it doesn't matter how fat she is, she's beautiful, all this other stuff. Yet these women will make goddamn sure that it's all headshots, and when they do their selfies, they do it from an angle that makes them look as slim as possible because they know that men really are not attracted to fat women any more than women are attracted to fat men. But the other thing about the selfies being taken from the angle where the camera is held above her head height, and then she takes the picture, right? So when you're looking at the picture of her, you're looking down on her as you would a child. A child is shorter than adults. When we adults, I use the term adult loosely in my particular case, I'm talking about adult age-wise, not necessarily adult maturity-wise. When we adults, when we tall people, look at short people, we see them from above. We look down on them. And women take their selfies from above, so that when you look at the selfie, it's like you're looking down at a child. And remember, my friends, see, it's you and I that are immature, because we think that killing other people is wrong. See, we think that putting Jews in concentration camps is wrong. If you and I, anarcho-capitalists, ran the world, nobody could play the Jew card because there would have been no concentration camps. But the end justifies the means, right? I mean, isn't it wonderful that all those Jews were put in those concentration camps? Because now we have the State of Israel. Now we have the ability to declare people are anti-Semitic for disagreeing with us. Now we have all these laws to protect us. The end justifies the means. See, that's maturity in a statist society. See, you and I, we're immature because we believe that taking other people's property without their permission is wrong. And that is immature. You know who says this? This is said by women who read novels written for 16-year-old girls and who take pictures of themselves which present them to the observer as children instead of adults. That's who's telling us that we are immature because we believe that taxation is theft. These are people who have multiple children by multiple parents who are parasites on the system. But you see, we are immature because we believe people should not be put into cages. Understanding the statist worldview is difficult, but it can be done. You just have to understand that from their perspective, the end justifies the means, as long as the end benefits you. And I know it's hard. I said hard. I know it's hard to shove your head that far up your ass so as to see things from a statist perspective. I think the hardest part of being a statist might just be the cognitive dissonance you have to go through. Right? I mean, to say that the Holocaust was a bad thing, but then to have all of these good results from the Holocaust. Right? To have somebody like me point out, had the Holocaust not happened, you probably wouldn't have the state of Israel, and your government wouldn't have all this money flowing to it from other countries, and you wouldn't have all these laws saying other people can't criticize you. And you scream and you shout, and you holler anti-Semitism. But it's just the truth. When I sit here and I say, you're not the only people that have been killed by a government. Why are you so fucking special? This is a fact. The Jews are not the only people that have been killed by a government. You should be so fucking thankful that there's this whole mythology built up around the Holocaust. Because without, and by mythology, I don't mean the Holocaust didn't fucking happen. I mean the mythology that, again, that the Jews are, I mean, you own the fucking word Holocaust. Like, you're the only people in history, to just repeat myself over and over and over, who have ever been killed. You're not. Will you fucking please grow up and get over it? It's just a and until you get over it, you're not my equal. Go fuck yourself.